Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're back. I'm going to introduce...
Okay, so welcome to Popcorn and Review, a weekly talk show about movies, how we watch them, and why we watch them. So this week's genre is...
Documentary. This was a good one. I like this genre here.
I agree.
Love watching documentaries and like docu-series, like the TV shows. Like, I enjoy documentaries so much. Gosh. All right, who's gonna go first talking about what they... I'll go first. All right.
Yeah, so let's introduce ourselves. My name is Karina, and what's your name?
Aren't you gonna do your movie?
Yeah, we're just gonna introduce ourselves. So
I'm Sheila. I'll be talking about the documentary Madhu.
And I am Mariana, and I'll be talking about Long Shot.
And my name is Karina. I'm gonna be talking about the documentary on the 13th.
All right. MMM.
Which one is this one?
We'll play, yeah, my trailer first. Gonna be the first one. Doesn't matter, honestly. They're probably the same thing.
I was 5 years old when I discovered ballet. People think that it's not for boys. It's my dream, and I have to follow it.
It's something that one have to embrace, accept, or appreciate.
Talk to you about Anthony, your son. He had so much raw talent that we are interested in at the school.
You must be very proud.
I'm very proud of him.
I can't believe that I'm going to be schooling in England for 7 years.
I'm happy for you, my son. Thank you for making me proud.
I will miss you a lot.
Thank you. Concerned if maybe may not fit in.
Strong in your centre, boys!
Shouldn't be any mistakes. You think this is hard? Wait until the summer show.
He's been referred to the NHS to a specialist doctor.
I hope you're not afraid.
I am.
Why?
Because there might be a point where I can't be able to kind of, like, dance.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Sometimes I close my eyes and imagine myself in big things.
I'd like to know, did you have a story?
Set me free. Now I need to find release. Set me to the open sky.
The promise I'm making to my mom and my family is I'll never let them down.
I might be falling deep.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, my God. That is such a great trailer.
I know. It was so good. I remember, like, I think it was probably, like, the first 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting there, and I was like, I'm about to start crying.
Yeah.
Because it was just so sad. It was so good. Like, I think I was only sad because I was like, he just has, like, a dream, but he, like, can't achieve it. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to start crying now.
Right.
I didn't cry, though. Hallelujah. I was like, I could not watch the whole thing if I was going to start crying, like, 5-10 minutes in.
How did you come about this documentary? How did you find it?
It was just on Disney Plus in general, and I like dance documentaries or like dance shows in general.
Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
I was like, I've been wanting to watch it, and I'm like, this is honestly the perfect opportunity to watch it. So
right.
Okay,
right.
Let me start watching it now.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. Let's get into it then. Tell us about it.
This documentary is about a 12-year-old boy, Madhu, leaves his family and community in Nigeria to study at a prestigious ballet school in England. Having never left his home outside of Lagos, Anthony finds himself in a new world where his wildest dreams are suddenly within reach. So basically this kid, he said that he started dancing in general when he was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a small like dance academy or community in Lagos, Nigeria, where he's from, where he started like dancing, took dance classes and everything.
Oh, okay.
And then he got discovered when he was 11 because a viral video of him dancing, like just like no like professional shoes or anything, like bare feet in like sand or something, like in like his backyard.
Yeah.
His
okay.
like dance teacher was recording him, so that went viral. A whole bunch of celebrities saw it.
Like, yeah,
this prestigious school, it's Elmhurst Ballet School in England.
Okay,
they saw him. They're like, hey, We love this.
Yeah.
They reached out to his family, his mom. They reached out to her and was like, hey, we want to offer your kid a 7-year scholarship. I expected like 1 year, 2 years.
Well, 7 years?
7 years.
I didn't know that was a thing.
They offered him a 7-year scholarship. And one, that's expensive, number one. Number two, that's such a big opportunity. Like, 7 years. I was so surprised. And they were like, oh, 7 years. I'm like,
right.
That's a lot for a kid that, one, they haven't really seen in person.
Right.
But, like, they just discovered.
Right.
But good for him. I think it was a very good opportunity for him. It was so, it was, like, such a good experience for me to, like, watch his whole story.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed watching it.
They saw a lot of potential in him.
Yeah,
to
for
offer
sure.
Him that much.
Yeah, I was like 7 years.
So many years. How long is the school? Is the schooling that long? Or was it more because of his
age? I think it's more. Yeah, he was 11 when the video came out, but like the documentary said that he was like 12. I think when filming started.
Okay.
So technically, he will be there until like his like senior year here.
Yeah, like 19 or.
Yeah, 18, 19. So technically, it's technically his whole high school,
yeah,
middle school
high
life.
School. Right. Okay.
So. That's actually pretty normal.
Yeah,
it's pretty
it is.
Normal.
But dancing all that time, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like it was crazy to see that. Like, he was going through so many things. I found it, like, I only got a really, like, emotional because his mom, obviously, like, he hasn't been away from her. He's only, like, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His mom is, like, letting him go for the first time because she didn't go with him. None of his family went with him.
Yeah.
It was literally just him going to England and then having to, like, adapt. And that was, like, crazy to me. I'm like, his mom can at least go or something. Like,
yeah,
his,
nobody went with him?
Nobody went.
Oh, my god!
Like, he has a younger brother and two older sisters, mm-hmm. or one older sister. But none of them went. His dad didn't go. His mom didn't go. None of them. It was just him having to adapt. They talked on the phone a lot. The documentary showed them talking on the phone a lot. But other than that, it was, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, he visited during Easter. They sent him to East, like, there during Easter because he was kind of, like, he wasn't in the right mindset because also he was having eye problems.
Oh, God.
So, like, he was kind of going blind in his right eye. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. And at that point, I was like, I hope, like, hopefully nothing goes wrong at this point. They have to send him back.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, my biggest thing. I think
like,
I'm
hoping
like,
he can still dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest thing. I'm like, that was, like, the climax of the documentary. I thought it was over, too. That was, like, 55 minutes in. I honestly
you're done.
Yeah. I thought it was over. It was, like, an hour documentary. I was, like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm probably, like, an hour in already. It was, like, 55 minutes in, and they're talking about his eye problems. I'm, like, I'm hoping that he doesn't, like, get, like, he doesn't go blind and, like, he can't dance. They send him back to Nigeria. His dream is over. And he even said that, too. He was, like, you know, I don't want this to be a thing where, like, I can't dance anymore. I'm, like, that's so sad to me.
Yeah. So what ends up happening?
He still is, like, still blind in his right eye. But the,
so he
went
got
to,
permanent blindness in his eye?
I don't know if it's permanent. They do say that, like, he just can't see out of his right eye.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They talk about how it, like, he went to a doctor, mm-hmm. and he was like, oh, it's not going to be a thing where it keeps progressing or it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good thing. Like, it's not going to get any worse than it already is.
Okay, that's good.
Like, that's, it's not going to get any worse, but, you know, it's still going to be, you're still going to have a problem seeing.
Yeah.
And my whole time, I'm just like, get this guy some glasses or contacts or something.
Right,
like,
right.
Maybe that'll help. Maybe. Like, I don't know. And, like, he finally wears glasses because I watched a few interviews and now, and he, like, obviously has, like, he wears glasses and mm-hmm. I'm like, hallelujah. Like, he needed that, like, probably a couple months ago.
Right.
And now he's 14. I wish I could show you a picture of, like, how he looks now and, like, how he looked on the show.
Yeah.
But he's
completely
14.
Different.
Literally, like, he looks like a grown adult.
Yeah.
But he's only 14. He's, like, older. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But
so he's still dancing.
First, well, that 7 year, he has a 7 year scholarship. He better be dancing.
But so he's still at the school and
he's still dancing.
He's thriving.
He's still doing what he needs to do. He's still doing well. Yeah, I really enjoyed this documentary. I loved it, dance documentary, like I said.
So yeah.
I really enjoyed this. I think the biggest thing for me watching this documentary was seeing him grow and kind of, like, how, like, him adapting in England. If that makes any sense. Because obviously he's been in Nigeria the whole time with his family, but he's going to England now without them. He's making new friends, which was such a good experience for me. I loved watching him make new friends and, like, have a crush on this girl that was in his class. Oh my gosh, the cutest thing ever. He got her flowers. He got her flowers. He was waiting for her in the courtyard. He gave her the flowers. He was so nervous. It was the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made, like, new friends. He made, like, friends with his, like, dorm mate because they mm-hmm. all, like, live on campus, obviously.
Right, right.
And it was the cutest thing ever. And then at one point, he was, like, he was talking to his mom, I think his family, on the phone, and he was talking about, like, being home. Like, I just want to go home. But mm-hmm. he wasn't referring to Nigeria home. He was referring to England home. I'm like, that was the one thing where I'm like, how does he, like, adapt to this, and how does he separate this England being his home and from, like, Nigeria being his home?
Right.
Because, to be honest, home is where, like, you know, you have your family, where you make the memories.
Right.
But him being in England is literally a whole new life experience.
Sure, of course.
This is a whole new thing for him. He's making friends.
And he's so like young.
Yeah. He's basically making his family here.
Yeah.
For the next, what, like 7-8 years, depending on what happens after.
Right.
And but again, you still have your like actual family at home.
Yeah.
That you left behind. You talk to, obviously, once in a while. You probably go visit them once in a while. But,
yeah,
you know, you don't really see him as much.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing for me because, you know, he was really going through it. And there was even a part where he was back at home. And you can see, like, that I'm pretty sure that was when he was, like, turning around 13.
Mm-hmm.
Around, like, because they don't really show, like, good time frames. They don't be, like, a year later in this whole documentary. But you can tell he's going to the teenage phase.
Yeah.
Because him and his mom and his dad are talking to him in his room. And then he kind of is, like, having, like, an attitude. And then they're, like, telling him, like, you know, it'll be fine. Like, we're here for you. God is here for you. And he's like, I don't need God. I need to go dance or something. I'm like,
oh, snap.
Yeah, it was just so sad because his mom started crying. I think the biggest thing, like, I was so sad because his mom was so sad.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. Every time she would cry, I would be so emotional. I'd be like, right. I can't start crying now. But it was so sad. He was like, I don't need the prophet. I need to go dance. I need to be home. I need to be able to dance. I'm like, okay. Oh.
So maybe a lot of that has to do maybe him finding his independence.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, he's definitely just in his teenage phase. Because even his mom said it, he was like, she's like, oh, you're just mad at everything. You're a teenager now. I'm like, yeah, he's definitely just in this phase where he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to act on people. He gets mad really easily. I'm like, that's your mom at the end of the day.
Right.
She knows what's best for you. Like,
right, exactly.
I think she knows what's best and what's good. So
yeah.
It was a good documentary, though. I definitely give it, I give it like an 8.7 out of 10.
Okay.
It was very good. I recommend anyone who hasn't watched it, watch it.
Good. How long is it? Is it long?
An hour. It's not super long. Well, I honestly thought it felt longer than it actually was, to be honest. But it is about an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Average length of a
movie. Yeah, there's a lot that happens.
It's,
I think the time span within that whole movie is probably like a year or two. Yeah, it's not like a long time. It's not until he's like 14 now, but like a year or two. They do say he obviously continued dancing at the end, but that was really it. Yeah, it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it'll be good to see the follow-up or once he graduates from the school. Or...
For sure.
Yeah.
That's that was amazing. Really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to Popcorn Review here at Ybor Campus. If you want to listen to this, you go to www.hawkradio.primostream.com. So was that it, or do you have anything
else to say? Yeah, that was it.
Okay,
yeah, so I'll try to look up fun facts. There was no fun facts about this movie.
No fun facts about it.
Next, we're going to do the trailer for Long Shot.
Yeah.
Is this one?
All right, Mariana, what are you going to be talking about?
So I had the movie that I chose was a documentary called Long Shot, and it's really great. Actually, it's funny when people always ask, "Hey, what should I watch as a documentary?" I always recommend this movie.
Have you watched it before?
Oh yeah, I have.
Oh, I thought it was a new thing. Okay, okay.
No, not a new thing. So let's play the trailer from this documentary, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more about it.
Baseball, I can't say that enough. Every time I'm there, I soak it all in. But I wasn't supposed to be at that game. It was like any other day, but as soon as I opened the door, I was completely surrounded, like SWAT style. My daughter, she looks up and she says, "Dad." I told him, "I'm gonna get you out of here." I asked him, "Do you remember where you were?" I was at the Dodgers game. I gotta find the holy grail of Juan's defense. I need to place my client at Dodger Stadium on that night. Juan remembered they may have been filming something there that day.
The episode was that I picked up a hooker in the carpool lane and took her to Dodger Stadium.
We were in for an enormous fight. The prosecutor they assigned to the case had never lost. She liked to pick off people with the death penalty. I looked at tape after tape.
We shot in two sections in Dodger Stadium.
There's 56,000 people at this game. How could you possibly be on camera?
I wasn't supposed to be at that game, and that would play in my head over and over.
I looked for eyewitnesses in the tickets. I could not afford to miss anything.
The kids wanted to know when I was coming home, and I didn't have an answer.
Yeah, so that was the trailer for, what'd you ladies think?
Gaming shows.
Yeah, I've heard of the whole like case before.
Yeah, you
so,
have.
So yeah, I wanted you to have. Watch like the whole thing. I've heard of it before.
That's do what, it. I highly really recommend good. It. So before we get into it, I want to read you what the poster, you know how like movie posters will show, you know, give you a little bit of a glimpse of what the movie is. So
yeah.
The poster for this movie, it said, "One murder, one alibi, one unbelievable true story with a Hollywood twist."
OMG.
I know. It's, I love that. It's intriguing, isn't
that'll
it?
That'll have me sitting down at my feet right here. That sounds really good.
Oh, yeah, so it was good. So like I said, this is the one documentary that I always recommend when people ask me, "Hey, is there a documentary or something good or something that I should watch?" I always recommend Long Shot. So let me tell you really quickly. So this came out in 2017. And the synopsis, so what it's about is, when Juan Catalan is arrested for a murder he didn't commit, he builds his case around raw footage from the popular TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wow, he's so,
so
lucky.
Yeah, so there was a murder case. There was a 16-year-old girl who got murdered, and there was supposedly an eyewitness that saw Juan there, and so they arrested him.
Wait, did they say it was specifically him, or like, oh, he's a Hispanic male?
We'll get to that, exactly.
Where did she get murdered at?
Right. This is all in Los Angeles. This all took place
like
in Los Angeles,
in
California.
In her house, in a store?
No, it was on a street. It was on a street, and so what happened was, that's not really the premise of the movie.
Yeah,
the details of her murder. We just know that a young girl got murdered. An eyewitness supposedly saw Juan there. They described him as a male Latino man with a mustache, 5'3" to 6 feet tall.
That could be anyone.
That's like 90% of Los Angeles.
That could be literally anyone walking
that's
on
anyone,
the street.
Anyone, exactly. So what they did, they got him, they arrested him, and they took him into the interrogation room, and the two detectives, they were like, "You know what you did, and this witness saw your picture, and they circled it." And he's like, "No, that's not me, that's not me." So they're trying to ask him, "So where were you that night?" And, you know, you get arrested. All these things are happening. You're not going to remember exactly where you were on that day. You got to sit down and think about it. Luckily, his then girlfriend remembered that he was at a Dodger game. Okay. And that's like what we heard in the trailer. The lawyer was like, we gotta prove that you were there.
Yeah.
The tickets that he bought, he didn't buy the tickets right out. The tickets were from a season ticket holder who gave him out.
Okay, so,
they're not
going to
know.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
Yeah.
So luckily, they were filming Curb Your Enthusiasm that day.
He got so lucky.
So lucky. And what's even luckier is that he came out in one of the shots that they kept for the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Aww.
So they were able to find him there at the stadium. And so with that film proof that he was there, and the pinging from the cell phone, because he made a phone call to his girlfriend. No, his girlfriend called him. So they were able to ping where he was. So between him being at the game and the cell phone, he was let go.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of people to, like, one person out of, like, millions. That
yeah.
Was,
there's a lot
crazy.
Of people there at the stadium.
How did they do that?
How did they do what?
how did they like pinpoint his location to know that he was like actually there with the like footage?
Well,
out of all those people,
they looked at the tapes.
Yeah, to they were see filming a show.
They were filming the show there.
Yeah.
So when they were filming the show, they looked at the stands to see if he showed up. And then what happened was during one of the shots, he came out in one of the shots.
Yeah, he got so lucky. That's so crazy to think about.
And so they were able to, they saw him there with his daughter. Yeah, totally lucky.
Yeah, imagine if he wasn't in it or he like left wherever he was like a second later.
Right, and even he said, I wasn't really even supposed to go to the game.
Yeah, imagine he didn't go. He would have been in jail for
crime. He would have been in jail.
Prison, probably.
Yeah, incriminated for that murder.
And the other lawyer, knowing her, she wouldn't have given
the prosecutor apparently, they used to call her the Grim Reaper or something.
They gave her
a weird name because she never lost a case, and that was her go-to, send everybody to death row.
I would be shaking in my boots if I'm the
What's wrong with her?
Yeah, exactly.
I would be shaking.
Right. So the great thing about this documentary, not just the storytelling, but this documentary is only 40 minutes long.
Oh.
And to my, which I love to always tell people, it's not very long, it's short, but it goes to prove that you don't need a lot of time to tell a good story.
Yeah, for sure.
Because even within the 40 minutes of that documentary, we were able to get the context of Juan's, not just his lifestyle, but what he came from and how he ended up,
That's
you know,
good.
On the wrong side of the law and how he was trying to change himself.
Yeah.
And then we got to see all the evidence. We got to see multiple sides of the story. And then the great thing also is they got a lot of people to interview. They interviewed Larry David.
Okay.
They interviewed who's the creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Karina. So they interviewed him. They interviewed Kim Whitley, who was in the episode that they shot at Dodger Stadium.
Oh my God, she got everyone.
Yeah, they got the Grip Boys. They got PAs. They got, let me look up his name really quickly. Sam Fernandez, who worked for the Dodgers and who helped collaborate with Hollywood whenever they wanted to, you know, shoot films or movies or TV episodes there. So it's really great. All the interviews are amazing. And I do like how Larry David said that. Sometimes he'll tell the story about, oh yeah, my show helped someone get, you know.
Of course. That's such a flex.
He was, a major flex. You know, my show helped a guy get off of murder. So
yeah, so funny.
Yeah, so just a few takeaways. Like I said, it's a great example of how you can tell a story without dragging it on.
Yeah.
Because it could easily could have been, you know, an hour about Juan and an hour about his upbringing and like another hour about Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But they didn't go that. They didn't go that route, which I think was.
Yeah, that's good that they didn't all that down, all those interviews and like asking people questions in the whole case. It's only 40 minutes. Like, that's crazy.
And the interviews were good. They were thoughtful. I mean, everything about the documentary was thoughtful. Like, he thought it out. He was like, you know, we're just going to record you and just let it play and see what comes out. And so there's no fun facts, but the one fact that I do want to talk about, I think is kind of like a fun fact. So this documentary actually took 5 years to make.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's pretty long time. So I'm going to tell you right now. So what happened was, what is his name? I want to make sure I get his name right. I don't want to mispronounce it or anything. Okay. So, Jacob Lamendola. So he actually came across the news also kind of like the way you did.
Yeah.
He was actually on IMDb and he was looking up trivia. And this was a piece of trivia that came up that Curb Your Enthusiasm was used as evidence to free a man from murder.
Oh,
so when he looked it up, he said, well, how do I get a hold of these people? So he got a hold of Todd Melnick, who is the lawyer. And then Todd Melnick got a hold of Juan Catalan. And so Jacob flew out to L.A. He talked to them. He goes, you know, I'm kind of interested in making a movie. And they're like, why not? So that kind of started that way. What the delay or the why it took so long was a lot of logistics and trying to get people like to interview. Like he said, it was hard to get Larry David, but he finally did it. All of the other actors, the people that were that worked that day to get the information.
I would think. That happened quite some time ago.
It was a while. Like, yeah, because it happened.
Together.
Yeah, it happened in 2003. So then this came out in 17. So he started it like in what, 12?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then he said a lot of the footage, because it didn't just happen, it happened so long ago.
Yeah.
A lot of the footage was like everywhere.
For sure,
he had to go to different studios and different places to get. But he said that it wasn't until Netflix decided to finance him that he only had a year left to really get it done and put it all together. So yeah, so he kind of, in an interview that I saw on this website called Awful Announcing. So there's a Q&A about him and the documentary and what it took for him to make it. That's a really good interview. I recommend you people, everybody go up there and read it. But he talks about, you know, it was his baby because it had taken him so long to make.
I would think 5 years.
5 long years.
That is so crazy. Yeah. That whole story is so crazy.
The whole story is absolutely wild.
I remember I think it was on Facebook or Instagram I saw it. And then just seeing that he, footage from him being at the stadium was what saved him from being convicted. I was imagine what would happen if he came out a second later, or he decided not to go to the game.
Right.
Anything. Right. Any possibility if he decided to go to the bathroom instead of going to the seat. I don't know anything. Right.
Exactly. And that's what he said, because since he went with his daughter, he goes, I think my daughter wanted candy or ice cream or something. They got up and they were coming back. And the PA was saying that he had to stop people, but you know, he couldn't stop them very long because these were paying guests. They couldn't just tell them, no, you got to wait there. Yeah. So he said, he looked at him, he said, yeah, go ahead. So with the luck of him being at the game, the PA saying, hey, you can go down the stairs. That's you get crazy. A full clear shot of him being there.
Just imagine. Oh my gosh.
Right, exactly. I so you can tell, imagine. Oh, that's one right there.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how it would be in that situation. It's were convicted for a crime and then
for a crime, exactly.
I feel like it's so crazy. It's actually foreshadowing what I'm going to talk about, because it's just there's so many people that it's they racial profile you, you know, and especially the cops. And if he wouldn't have had that evidence supporting, he would have been in prison for a long time, something he didn't commit that crime and he would have been locked up for it. So it's just it's crazy what people go through and stuff like that. But it's just foreshadowing what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, and I also can't get over the fact, before you go, get over the fact that literally they took, obviously if a victim or a suspect, anyone, a witness says mm-hmm. hey, we saw, I think it was this person, they circle you.
Yeah.
The cops, and they're going to be oh yeah, so it probably was him. Okay, if they obviously saying it was this guy with full confidence that, you know, that we're going to go arrest him or something. But I'm you're giving the description of a 5'3 to 6 foot male Hispanic with a mustache.
It's so vague.
That could be anybody. Anyone.
And the thing is that,
and
in
why
the documentary,
did they get him, out of all people? If there's so many people that look fit that description.
That's, I was going to get to that. Well, what happened was the two detectives were deposed. So, you know, they were questioned after this. And it comes to find out that they, quote unquote, had a reliable witness. But then it turned out that he wasn't a reliable witness because he was actually
changing his story.
I'm sorry?
Did he change his story?
No, he didn't change his story. He just completely made it up because he was related to the people that actually shot and murdered her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's really entangled. I kind of didn't want to say that, but so come to find out that, yeah. So what happened was, originally Juan was at a hearing for his brother where the girl that got murdered was a witness. And then a week later, the girl got murdered. So then that way, so
that
it was like a retaliation.
So,
and they blamed Juan when he had nothing to do with it.
I'm glad that you told me that now. Yeah. That's so crazy.
And so the two detectives, obviously, they declined interviews for the documentary.
Oh, thank you.
But they were removed from the homicide department.
Good.
But it bothers me that they're still, I don't know if they're still working today. I didn't look it up. But at the time of the documentary, they were still with the Los Angeles Police Department.
That's crazy. That's just,
yeah. Wow. And then what ended up happening was Juan and his family sued the Los Angeles Police Department. Yeah. And they did settle out. But still, I mean, why does it have to your point, Karina, why does it have to go to these lengths?
That's,
you know,
crazy.
And if it wasn't for that lawyer, that lawyer is a saint
Todd
Melnick said that when he went in to interview him, and he said, you know, this guy didn't do this, and I'm gonna do everything in my power prove
that is so crazy.
And he went to the ends of the earth to prove this guy's innocent, and he did it.
I feel like that's one of the craziest cases I've ever heard.
And it's so sad because this is just one of the many cases that a lot of people go down, like in imprisonment, like in mass incarceration, because it's just like for the going alongside what I was going to start talking about on the 13th. So basically, it's just like, if you think about it, like how many black men have not been in the same situation but not been so lucky to have not won the case. They have to do time for something they didn't do.
Right.
like the systemic racism and the racially profiling and everything like that, and police brutality. Like, that's one of the main parts that I'm going to be talking about, but that's crazy. Like, that's just one story, but there's so many out there, like so many innocent people in prison, you know. Yeah. I'm not saying all of them are innocent. I can't say all of them, but some of them could be innocent, you know. Did you have anything else to say?
No, that was it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to watch it.
Yeah, watch it for sure. It's like, especially because it doesn't take long. So it's 40 just
minutes.
40 minutes. Boom, boom. Who, awesome. What, when, why, and where.
Yeah, and what happens.
very clear. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you guys are tuning in here in Popcorn and Review. You can tune in at www.hawkradio.com here at the Ybor campus. Next, we have the 13th. This is a documentary, and we're going to listen to the trailer of it.
Bug spray works best when your family actually wears it. Get odor-free 8-hour protection from mosquitoes and ticks without the...
There are exceptions, including...
One out of four human beings with their hands on bars, shackled, in the world, are locked up here in the land of the free.
Khalif Browder was walking home from a party when he was stopped by police.
Then they said, we're going to take you to the precinct, and most likely we're going to let you go home. And then I never went home.
13th Amendment to the Constitution makes it unconstitutional for someone to be held as a slave. There are exceptions, including criminals.
The loophole was immediately exploited. What you got after that was a rapid transition to a mythology of black criminality.
Some people got the real problem.
Animals, beasts that needed to be controlled.
You better believe it.
I'm only human.
It became virtually impossible for a politician to run and appear soft on crime.
The kinds of kids that are called super predators.
Millions of dollars will be allocated for prison and jail facilities.
Three strikes and you are out.
It was an enormous burden on the black community, but it also violated a sense of core fairness.
States were required to keep these prisons filled, even if nobody was committing a crime.
It's so difficult to talk about mass incarceration because it has become heavily monetized.
The focus is on taking people from prison, putting them in community corrections, parole, and probation.
How much progress is it really if now there's a private company making money off the GPS monitor?
We now have more African Americans under criminal supervision than all the slaves back in the 1850s. I'm only human.
We are the products of the history that our ancestors chose. Products of that set of choices that we have to understand in order to escape from it. We should go looking somewhere higher.
I'm only human. After all, don't put the blame on me.
I just wanted to compete.
That's a really good trailer. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Sad though. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, just like Mariana was talking about how he was, you know, almost convicted of that felony, that murder. Well, so many people. So I want to go back to, I watched this documentary and it just like, it got my blood boiling because it's just like, we live in this society that, like, it's so much racism that's going on. It's not just about racism. It's more so the 13th Amendment, right, is unconstitutional to be held as a slave, right? But there's a loophole because it said, but if you commit a crime, then, so basically, first it was slavery, then Jim Crow, then segregation, then now history is repeating itself because if you really think about it, like, so many, like, black men are, you know, being, like, en mass... ¿Cómo se dice eso?
Incarcerated?
Incarceration. Yeah, they're being incarcerated. And just for, like, like just the wrong reasons. Like some I could attest that at least like 10 to 20% like do deserve to be there, but like the rest, like I don't really think so, you know, because like, and especially if they did their time, like nobody should have life in prison or the death penalty, like unless if they did like a heinous crime and stuff like that. It's just like just so much police brutality and everything that's going on. It's just so crazy. It's just so crazy because it's just like they want to keep it like they want to monetize on that, on keeping these people in these prisons, you know, especially the population is Black men and Latinos. You don't see too many white men being in prison. Yeah, maybe like a few, but it's just like that's how they get, like that's how they get a form of segregation as well. You know, they falsely accuse these people. They, you know, they beat them down when they're in jail. There's so much things that happen in jail and in prison, like you just don't know. And it's just traumatizing. The guy, I didn't get his name, but the one that they were talking about in the trailer, he was just walking down the road, just like Trayvon Martin. When Trayvon Martin was walking down the road, he was just an innocent bystander, and he got murdered. Like he got murdered just by having Skittles and iced tea, you know. And then the other guy that was there, there was this one Black men, and he was just walking and the police arrested him because they fit to his description. It's always with the description with the guy, with the people saying, oh, I saw this is X, Y, and Z, just like they said with the guy in Long Shot. Well, there's so many crimes out here that people say, oh, it was an African-American male. Like, what? You know how many African-American males there is? Yeah, I can go
for literally anyone, anywhere.
That's not a good description. Like, and then they just get anybody, and then a lot of people are locked up just because of that, you know, and it's just crazy. And so he got arrested, and he was arrested for 3 years for something he didn't commit. Another thing in the documentary, there's 5 teens as well, because this was when Reagan and Bill Clinton, when they were doing the war on drugs, so they were really enforcing a lot of, you know, like heavy on crimes, even if it was minor, even if it was minor, they were heavy on war on drugs and what was the other thing? Tough crime. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to lock up all these men just to, a lot of like things were for press too, like for media, for like politics, you know. Even Donald Trump back in the day was saying all this stuff too to get them, you know, locked up so they can have, you know, they can win the presidency, you know.
Yeah. So let me ask you really quickly. So the documentary is about several different stories, several different cases, or just it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just basically giving you examples of different cases where the 13th Amendment was used.
Yeah.
Probably not in the best way.
Yeah. Like racial inequality with the loophole,
and then they took advantage of that.
Yeah. Oh, so okay. They were basically saying that, you know, that history is repeating itself, but in a different form and in a different way, because the 13th Amendment, because slavery obviously ended, but then they're still being enslaved in the prisons. That's what they're basically going on. First it was slavery, then it was the Jim Crow segregation, and now this. It's just so much going on, you know, and just so many people getting locked up for just minor, like just crimes. Like it's just so crazy.
Yeah, that's so sad to hear about.
Yeah, so.
Even there was a part in the trailer. I keep hitting this mic. I'm so sorry. Part in the trailer. I forgot what it said, but they were talking about how, like, crimes are being committed, but they're like the population in jails are like going up. That's just so crazy to me. It wasn't exactly those words. It wasn't exactly that wording, but it was something like that. Like, oh, crimes are being committed, but the population in jail are going up. Something like that. That's just so crazy to hear. It's literally like wrongful conviction happening all the time.
Wrongful conviction. That's exactly what it is.
Just because they might, you know, be Black walking on the street because they hear like a Black male 6 foot walking on the street, like, or a Latino male.
What do you get in like incarcerating so many like individuals? Like, what do you get? Like, it's just suppression. They just suppress, you know, the Black population. But if you really think about it, why don't you educate them? Why don't you bring them into, like, if you do like what is that called, house arrest or something like that, and put them in programs and help them with the drug addictions, or help them whatever they got going on, mental institutions. Yeah. like bring help. Don't just leave them there to rot for the rest of their life and just keep going more and more as a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, that right. is really crazy.
That's why you see now a lot of things like the Innocence Project, you know, where they're trying to get people exonerated, you know. And just recently a man was let free, but he had already served like 20 years.
This
was just like a couple weeks ago. You know,
crazy.
You're taking the life of a person
at that point, it's like,
and just throwing them in there just to say that you found somebody and case solved. And here's the thing, everybody loses. The person that's being incarcerated, the victims of the real murderer or the whatever the victim is of the case, because those victims need closure, but they need proper closure.
Yeah, that's so
you
sad.
Can't just tell a victim, oh yeah, we found this guy and we threw him in jail, you're good, next. Like, that can't be.
Yeah, that's so sad. It's crazy.
It can't be like take a number. And I think I personally sometimes feel like that's what it's like.
Yeah, it is.
When you're accusing someone of something that they haven't done, and you're basically taking their life. So there's a lot of people that are losing when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, that was very, very sad.
Yeah.
I heard about that case, too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, at that point, his life, I'm not going to say his life's already gone.
It's not.
But at
so
that point,
years
like he's been in jail
lost.
For how
exactly.
many years already? Like,
exactly.
And
at
it was
point,
so crazy because also in the documentary, there was this segment that basically there was like five teens that had got arrested for something they didn't commit. Like,
oh, yeah.
A
the
white
Central,
lady.
The Central Park Five, I think, is the name of
the lady, a white lady got raped, and they blamed it on them, and they did like 10 years, all of them, and then they finally got out, and she was like, no, they didn't do it.
Yes, that's right, that she lied. You see what I'm talking
that's
about?
Crazy.
You know what this also reminds me of? The guy who was watching birds in the park, and the lady was trying to claim that he was attacking her. Do you remember that?
That
happened during COVID.
That's crazy.
Luckily, thank goodness that we now have cameras on our phones.
Yeah.
Because he was recording her calling 911. And she was just with her dog, and she's like, "He's attacking me! He's attacking me!"
I probably did see a video.
And he's like, "Lady, why are you tripping?" Well, now come to find out that he's got his own show on National Geographic about birds.
Wow!
Oh, wow!
The opportunity.
Yeah. But again, you know, you're right. Racism is obviously still prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that is taught. It's not something that's in you.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the thing that we need to try to not allow these people to teach that ignorance, right? That hate.
Yeah.
You can't judge anybody but by the color, right?
Yeah.
Judge them by how they act.
Yeah.
Do you like me? Judge them by what they're wearing, other stuff.
And then instead of so many black men being incarcerated, why don't they, you know, get educated and be something about them? Look at Obama. Like, he was the first black president. Like, why can't be more black men like that? Like, we need, like, and fathers need to be in their sons' lives, too, because there's a lot of, like, you know, guys that go to the streets and get into gangs because, like, you know, they don't have no other way to go. They don't want to be in school. They get dropped out, and they just do crazy stuff.
I have seen, though, some cases where, if you don't have a father figure in your life, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are not going to accomplish anything.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with, obviously, resources, access, inclusivity.
So there's a lot of that, and
it's not just the black community, but the Latino community, people that are below the poverty level, you know, so that has a lot to do with access and true community. You know what I mean? So you can't really just say, oh, well, he didn't have a father in his life. Well, you know, that's not really the case now, because there's been some studies that have been made, that have been done, and they realize that's not really the case. It's really just us humans need to be more human, and we're not. So I think that's what it comes down to, is community and access.
So two things. Also that it hits home to me because I'm Afro-Latina. So I'm also, you know, I'm Dominican, but I'm also black too. Yeah, my race is black, but I'm Hispanic. So it just hits home that, you know, so many people are going through this, you know?
Right.
I want to leave you guys with a song right here. This is Common Letter to Free featuring Bilal. And I want you guys to hear it and listen to the lyrics.
Southern trees we hung from, barren souls, heroic songs unsung. Forgive them, Father, they know this knot is undone. Tied with the rope that my grandmother died. Pride of the pilgrims affect lives of millions. In slave days, separating fathers from children. Institution ain't just a building, but a method of having black and brown bodies fill them. We ain't seen as human beings with feelings. Will the U.S. ever be us, Lord willing? For now we know the new Jim Crow, to stop, search, and arrest our souls. Police and policies patrol, philosophies of control. A crew hand taking hold. We let go to free them so we can free us. America's moment to come to Jesus. Bird sings for freedom to ring. Black bodies being lost in the American dream. Blood a black being, a pastoral scene. Slavery still alive, check Amendment 13.
It's a really good
not whips and chains, yeah. Are subliminal.
Like
instead
poem,
of nigga,
always.
They use the word criminal.
The
sweet land of liberty, incarcerated like country. Oh. Shot me with your ray gun and now you wanna trump me. Prison is a business, America's the company. Investing in the justice, fear, and long suffering. We staring in the face of hate again. The same hate they say will make America great again. No consolation prize for the dehumanized. For America to rise is a matter of black lives. And we gon' free them so we can free us. America's moment to come to Jesus.
Freedom. It's time for freedom.
Sheila, like what were that. You saying about the...
He did a song with... I believe it was John Legend for...
Oh, for Selma.
Yeah.
I remember that
so
one, yeah.
Good.
So good.
I could listen to it twice, and it was so good.
Yeah,
oh my
I
gosh.
Agree.
Yeah, he has such good lyrics, whether he writes it or not.
Yeah.
His lyrics are beautiful.
It was very poetic, very profound, and very to the point.
Because they always tell a story about something.
Yeah. All right, so now we're going to move on to our next segment. You're listening here at Ybor Campus. You're listening to Popcorn Review. If you want to tune in, you go to www.hawkradio.primostream.com. And we're going to talk about...
the best segment ever. The best part of the show.
Food.
Yeah, and you talking about
don't
the whole baseball stadium,
yeah.
Baseball game.
Did it inspire you?
Yeah, I've never been to a baseball game, but...
you talk about ice cream and cotton candy.
Yeah. I've never went to a baseball
let's
game.
Let's all go to the lobby.
But...
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
So when you hear me talk about Dodger Stadium.
A treat.
Yeah, I'm like, I need...
delicious things to eat.
Like nachos, hot dogs.
Yeah.
The popcorn can't be beat.
I'm just saying, like,
dandy. The
like, that's the only thing I want. You're talking about baseball games.
Right.
No, honestly, this case is sad. I shouldn't be thinking
about
it.
It is, I know, right? It's talking about
food. We're talking about a kid. About, adult being, like, incarcerated and stuff. But,
right.
But that's all I can think about. Hot dogs. Yeah.
The Dodger dog. Are you familiar with the Dodger dog?
They have a Dodger dog?
Yeah. So
it's called the
Dodger dog. Let me pull it up for you really quickly so you can see it.
Is it just a big hot dog?
It's really big. It's, like, long.
Is it, like, how much is it? Like, $30 or something?
Probably. Who knows now how much it is? I'm gonna
look
it up.
All I can think about when you're talking about that is a good hot dog or some nachos, a Coke or something.
Yeah,
that sounds really good.
Here you go. I'm gonna show you. Okay, guys. So I know you guys can't. You are listening to us, but you can't see what I'm gonna show Sheila.
Oh my gosh.
So she can see.
Yeah, I'm finishing that.
Dodger dog. It's probably like a foot long.
Oh my god.
Like it's a really long hot dog, but it is pretty good.
It looks good.
Crazy.
It looks good.
If anyone doesn't know what she's talking about, look it up. Look Dodger dog.
The Dodger dog.
The thing is crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was there eating? There was eating. They were mostly like when he was at school, they're eating like school cafeteria food.
Okay. So, what was that like? Was he eating British food?
British
food is not my favorite. Do you know what I'm saying? British food?
I know
food?
What you're talking about.
Bland.
They didn't really zoom in on the food or really like talk about the food that much.
Yeah.
Like there was the one point when he was getting a haircut where she's like, oh, do you miss your mom's cooking? That was really it.
Yeah.
But,
oh, I would. A Nigerian mom's cooking? Heck yeah, I would miss that.
England, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, England?
Yeah, everything. But
oh, man.
All I can think about was probably like the school cafeteria food that he was eating, and then like Nigerian food that he wished he was probably eating because obviously
probably.
So this is a little pun or a joke, but like you know how like when you go to jail they give you the bologna sandwich. Mm. Oh my god!
Were you they showing know? That in the documentary? Did they show like the food that they were eating
and that they were eating in there?
No, I personally know about the bologna sandwich.
You know what's funny? Now that you said prison food, because in the movie that I saw, when he got out and he met his family and they're like, what do you want to do? Are you hungry? He goes, all I want is a Coke.
Oh my gosh. I would
Could you imagine being somewhere where that is a luxury? That's what made me think a lot about stuff like the things we take for granted, like Coca-Cola. I mean, come on.
Coca-Cola.
But you know what's so crazy?
It's all he wanted was Take a Coke.
So in jail, when you're in the cell, right, you don't get access to microwave. So what they do, they get the noodles. Like, you get a pack of the noodles, right? And you have
the the ramen noodles?
Yeah, you get the noodles. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to, like, that you have, like, one toilet. You share the cell, and you put like hot water, that way you wash your hands from the hot water, and you just let it sit there, and then you put the seasoning like that they give you and stuff like that, and then that's how you make the soup.
Interesting.
In the faucet?
Yes.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of jail documentaries. I love jail documentaries. I don't know why, like, I'm just obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I see a lot of interesting things, like how they make food and how they like try to make their own snacks and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've seen the ones where there's a girl on YouTube. I apologize, I don't know her name, because I saw like one video, and she had been incarcerated, and she was making videos of how she made makeup.
I do see a girl on YouTube.
How she made makeup and how she would do makeup in jail.
How?
Yeah. The same thing.
I don't remember exactly, because I remember her putting it on, and she said like a lot of it was like from pencils. Like different colored pencils. Yeah. Oh, it's wild. And she would like do her makeup.
Yeah, I saw a girl do the same thing.
Or like Kool-Aid. Like name. I guess they would like the color from the Kool-Aid, and she would do lipstick. It's absolutely wild. But I am forever thankful and grateful every morning I wake up that I get to shower in my own bath. Yeah. I get to have Coca-Cola anytime I want.
Coca-Cola. But the little things that we take for granted.
I think that's her. She looks familiar.
Her name is Tina.
The one I saw, a frail girl, and she was very, very fair. And she was talking about how she would make do to put makeup on. I'm sorry, I'm telling you, knock on wood, if I'm in jail, I'm not gonna be thinking about makeup. Sorry, I'm not gonna be thinking about, I don't care what I look like.
She probably had a long sentence, right?
Maybe she was bored. I don't know.
There's not a lot of things to do in jail.
You're 100% correct. She was probably bored, and she probably was like, this is so innovative. I'm gonna take my Kool-Aid packet, probably. I'm gonna make lipstick. Yeah, probably. Probably right.
And not that reminds me of like Hitler in the death camps and stuff like that.
How? I don't want to know how.
Okay. No, not the makeup. I mean like just like the incarceration and stuff, like just everything.
Oh, okay. I personally don't think those belong in the same.
I think I know what you're saying, but okay.
The concentration camps are probably far beyond that, but that's for another day.
But we're going to move on to the movies that are coming up.
Yes, the movies coming up this week.
They're all coming out on the 12th, so this Friday, and I have...
Wow.
I have quite a bit, actually.
We got the movie plug.
Okay. Hit it.
I love that name for me now. I think we're going to keep that.
The movie plug.
Okay. The first one is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a remake.
Yes. Tanya finds her summer plans canceled when her mom jets off for a last-minute retreat and the elderly babysitter who arrives at her door unexpectedly passes away. The cast is Jermaine Fowler, Iantha Richardson, Nicole Richie, and June Squibb. There is Damage. It's a thriller. A Chicago detective travels to Scotland to link up with Scottish debt boy to follow the resurgence of a serial killer who match unsolved cases in Chicago. Has Samuel L. Jackson and Vincent Castle.
What genre is that? Is that
a thriller?
Is it thriller?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice. There is a movie called Sting. It's a horror. After raising a spider in secret, 12-year-old Charlotte must face the facts about her pet and fight for her family's survival as the spider transforms into a giant flesh-eating monster. What the heck?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
And the cast is Alila Brown, Sylvia Coloca, and Jermaine Fowler. That one sounds like it's going to be a very scary movie right there. And then there's The Long Game. In 1995, five young Mexican-American caddies out of love for the game were determined to learn how to play, so they created their own golf course in the middle of the South Texas desert.
Oh, cool. cool.
Yeah, that one. I saw the trailer for it like quite a bit, like in the past week, and it looks really good.
And that's based on the true story, I would
imagine. I believe it is. Yeah, it is.
Sounds like it.
It seems really good.
Nice.
I think you would like this one, to be honest. Yeah. Also, there's Dennis Quaid, Jay Hernandez, and Gillian Bigman.
I like Jay Hernandez.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be really good. If you haven't watched the trailer, you should watch
I'm gonna look it up.
You would like it, to be honest.
A lot of people don't even know that all these movies are coming out. That's crazy. That's good that we have IMDb. This talk show.
Yeah, these are all from IMDb. And there was just a full list. There's a lot coming out on the 12th, so everyone be prepared. There's two more.
Popcorn.
Arcadian, a father and his twin teenage sons fight to survive in a remote farmhouse at the end of the world. There's Nicolas Cage, Jaden Martell, and Maxwell Jenkins. Yeah, Nicolas Cage in this one. Didn't expect that. I feel like I haven't heard of him in a lot. And then Civil War. This one I've seen a lot of buzz about. And this one's about a journey across a dystopian future America following a team of military-embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. This one has Nick Offerman, Kirsten Dunst, and then Wagner Moura. And that one seems really good. I was watching the trailer, but every time I watch the trailer, I'm like somewhat confused. Mm-hmm. I believe it's by A24.
Oh, that's good.
So I know it's
going
to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
I know it's going to be good. It's like a production company. They produced a lot of good movies.
A lot of the, probably some of the best movies out there.
Honestly, yeah. So I think this is going to be really good. I think it's going to be really good. A lot of these movies seem like they're going to be really good, like The Long Game.
Yeah.
So there goes Popcorn and Review. Next week, do you want to tell them what we're going to be talking about next week?
Oh, next week's genre, it will be drama.
Yay. I really need to find something. I didn't look up anything prior. I need to find a good movie.
There's a lot of drama out there.
Like soap operas?
Well, that's not a movie, but drama.
Dramatic
movies.
Yeah. Oh, I think these are probably going to make me cry or something then.
There's probably. Yeah. Somebody's dying.
Oh, my God.
Somebody's got to adopt somebody.
What are some examples of dramas? Like,
I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying right now.
Okay, well, you guys have it. This was Popcorn and Maru here at Ybor Campus. Go to www.talkradio.primostream.com every Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. Thank you for tuning in with us, and don't miss us next week.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.